This is Rod Peterson on Demand. No.
Listen, we're not advocates of firing coaches. Teams don't want to do it because they don't want to burn money, right?
How about that?
But look at Cleveland. You predicted a down year for them last year, and they had it under Freddie Kitchens. But this year with Kevin Stefanski, they're a playoff team. Like, it's just, it shows you how important coaching is my point, right?
Yes.
If it's not working, you got to get the guy out of there.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Happy Monday, everybody. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Hi, Darren.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Rod.
Welcome to the RP Show. We just finished our morning meeting, and Paul has gone downstairs to do Paul things.
Yes.
We are here in the bunker, here in the sweatpants capital, and we're ready to talk sports, and I'm going to just let this out of the bag right now. It was an awesome weekend. Absolutely awesome weekend. Did you have one, too?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that great?
It was unbelievable.
We were together for most of it.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm going to unpack a lot of that here coming up in the warm-up for our friends at the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Warm up at the Four Seasons. Got some longtime buddies on the show today, too. Just makes me so happy to be able to bring these guys on from across the country. And if you don't know the names, Robin Brownlee for years covered the Oilers for the Edmonton Sun and the Eskimos, and he was big in the fight game. You know what we're going to talk about there?
Oh, yeah.
He's coming up along with Bryn Griffiths, Mighty Mouth. And I'm a huge fan of Bryn Griffiths. Back to his days as the voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors. And then he went on to work for the Edmonton Oilers and Fan 960 Calgary and Team 1260 Edmonton. So the two of them are coming on together. They host a podcast at Edmonton called The Outsiders. I was on with them last week, and then I asked them to return the favor and come on this program, and they said, yes, they'd do it in a three-way call here in hour one. And then in hour two, Bubba O'Neill's going to join us from C8's TV Hamilton, where he shares airspace with Dunk.
Yep.
And we're going to talk some Bills and whatever's going on in the Golden Horseshoe. So I'm excited about that. And without further ado, let's go to the quick six show topics, please. What do you say? Thank you. I just got to tell our viewers, a lot of them are writing in on the Facebook Live feed already with tons of questions for me. Hold on to your bingo cards, because I got the topics here. I'll get to the questions as soon as I get through these, okay? We got 2 hours, so settle down. Fill up your coffee, okay? Kick your shoes off and just make yourself at home here in the bunker. These are of as importance to me as you know.
Yes.
Maybe in the world they're not this order of top six, but they're my top six. Week 12 NFL notes. It was a wonderful NFL Sunday. I think you'd agree.
I would.
Your Titans were great.
They were great.
I see you on you have them on the cusp of the top, your top five bubble.
They're probably in there now.
Who's your top five?
Well, I got to see what Seattle does tonight against Philadelphia, but I'm going to put it on Twitter, but it's KC, Pittsburgh, 1-2, and then New Orleans, number 3, and then probably Tennessee, Buffalo.
Okay.
In there. The Rams lost. Vegas lost. You know, if Baltimore on Tuesday somehow upsets
quickly
Pittsburgh, but that's it.
I asked for the hot dog, not how you make the hot dog.
It's a complicated process. It's such a, you know, wide window.
I want to say this. Clark's Falcons won. There's the upset of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And interestingly enough, you saw the Falcons fired Dan Quinn, their head coach, and they're actually starting to win now. So on the weekend, the Detroit Lions whacked Matt Patricia. Are they going to go on a run now? And the interesting thing is, this is how players have changed. Just today's player. They fired Matt Patricia in Detroit, or as Lynch called him Friday, Matt Militia. Did you see what the players said after they fired him? It's about time. We hated him. What took so long? Like, I love that stuff. But I'm like, oh, don't. They really hated the guy.
It's rare to hear that.
It's rare.
It's rare to hear it. It's usually, oh, he did a good job, and somebody has to pay the price, and it's the coach. But they couldn't wait for him to get out the door. There's enough talent in Detroit. They're dealing with massive injuries, but there's enough talent there.
Just pointing out our viewers just by region right now. Edmonton, Prince Albert, Saskatoon, Vancouver, St. Paul, Alberta. So that's why we say we're coming to you from the heart of Western Canada out here talking sports today. And then the game that I was the most interested in was the Buccaneers and the Chiefs. We were supposed to be at that game. That was a bit of a hoo. So we went shopping early in the afternoon, and we're poking around the mall. And I said to my wife, something feels weird. Something's off right now. And she said, yeah, we're normally in a sunshine state at an NFL game, shopping at a U.S. outlet mall in the sunshine. Oh, yeah. And then I quickly got over it. But it just,
yeah,
I'm not used to this festive-y Christmas music. What the hell? Oh, I'm not normally here. Okay.
Last year, you're at the Galleria in Houston. It's the Cornwall Center in Regina.
Right. Yeah. Not much difference, just size.
Yeah.
Everything's bigger in Texas, as they say. So, 2 points from the Tampa Bay-Kansas City game. Tony Romo, I will concede now, is the very best color commentator in sport. Maybe superseding Troy Aikman, okay? So did you watch any of that game?
Oh, yeah.
You did.
I was.
If you noticed, folks, now you have to understand this is a quarterback talking, but he was analyzing every single one of Tom Brady's throws. And Tony Romo's saying, listen, yeah, Tom's got the worst completion percentage for any throw 20 yards or more. But look at this. 30 yards. Thunk, Mike Evans. Whoop. He goes, he's throwing perfect balls under pressure. 80% of the time he's got pressure in his face. You know, so he's like, don't blame Tom Brady. He was single-handedly turning statistics into poppycock on the broadcast. It was amazing. And Jim Nance, if you know, just let him do it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then the other one, Rex Ryan just eviscerated Bruce Arians this morning on ESPN Radio by saying, what is he doing? Like, Tom Brady is not a huck and chuck quarterback. They're throwing vertical routes all day long. That's not his thing. So guys are coming to the defense of Tom Brady big time, even though fans are trashing him all over social media, as you've noticed. There's guys that are defending Tom. So there's that. And then the other thing is, if anybody's worth $45 million a year, it's Patrick Mahomes. Like, I don't think anybody's worth that. But if anybody is, this guy's unbelievable.
It's just
he's so good.
He's so good.
Hey, hang on. We're getting hung on. I'm sorry. Hung up too much on point one.
Yeah.
Point two, Denver Broncos. They stole the show on the weekend. All their quarterbacks are suspended because they didn't have masks in a meeting. One of them was infected with COVID. Believe me, I get it. And I kind of got tickled when I saw Robert Vanstone, the legendary columnist, very upset. He's a Denver Broncos fan, and he's saying, the NFL shouldn't have put that. If they had cared about the integrity of the game, they wouldn't have played it. And people just trounced on Rob and said, well, if they'd wore masks, there wouldn't be a problem right now. So look in the mirror, right?
Yeah.
So Leighton Burton, who's a university professor at School of Journalism, writes me. Actually, he didn't write me. He just put it on Twitter. Why can't these players and coaches wear masks like everybody else? I get why people don't understand that. I'll take you inside the minds of sports people. They've never had to abide by the rules that you've had to abide by their whole life. And now, like, you know, getting a pass through university, in school, getting out of a speeding ticket because of who they are. Like, they don't. And I was the same way. But when you're raised your whole life and being told that you're special, you start to think you're special. And you think the rules that everybody else is governed by don't apply to you. And I'm not pointing the finger at them. It's the same with me. When people line up down the block and around to get you to sign the book that you wrote, not just once, but multiple times, you start to think, oh, I'm pretty special. I don't have to abide by the rules by everybody. So these guys are still in that. I don't think that way anymore. That's how I end up in SGI driver's class 3 times. Because I wasn't getting it. You still have to abide by the same traffic laws as everybody else. Oh, you can do that? I did. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So now NFL players and coaches, they've never had to abide by the laws of everybody else. Now they do. And they can't, they're not dealing with it well, clearly. And then they get punished, and they're still standing back and pointing the finger. Not the Broncos, but some of their fans. You saw Vince Fangio, their coach, after the game. He was blaming himself. He's like, I didn't appropriately convey the rules to the players, obviously. And the quarterbacks themselves, they didn't. So at least there's some ownership from the coach, but not from all the players. So that answers the question why they can't wear their masks. They've never had to listen to the law before.
That's right. And the NFL has no sympathy for them because they weren't wearing masks.
None.
If you're wearing them and you're doing your thing and you just want to play football, and somehow, you know, you start getting the virus and stuff, okay, there's a little more sympathy to move games back, to cancel games, to reschedule games.
You broke the rules.
Even if you're just breaking the rules in terms of getting on the field, but you're not breaking, you know, mask wearing rules and things like that. Like, that's why they were more lenient with the Titans, because they weren't actually breaking the rules. They came later. This was, yeah, no masks, no sympathy. You guys find somebody to play quarterback.
Yeah. Listen, everybody's awake now with that. In Edmonton, the sports players should follow the rules just like everybody else. It's a freaking pandemic. I know, John, but this is a first for everybody. And they've never had to follow the rules. They're young men. It takes them a while. The coaches I have far less patience for, because they're supposed to be the leaders.
Yeah.
Mike Lee, Mydale Mike, says three times an SGI driver's class. You must be an amazing driver after all that training. I'm an amazing driver now. Just ask my wife. As you well know. Listen, here, you want to know just one more on that? Because it is the Rod Peterson Show. Like, the third time I ended up before a traffic board, two of the three guys I knew. It's a long story. They're from the Highway 39. Anyways, I said, guys, this is on me. Like, boom, fell on my sword. This is me. I'm in the process of recovery now. I'm turning my life around. This is not your problem. It's my problem. You give me my license back, you'll never see me again. And a guy by the name of Pee Wee Erickson, used to be a goalie for the Weyburn Devils, flipped me my license. He goes, we're following what you're doing. Just live up to your word. I did. No more tickets for 2 years. Boop, back to zero. You can do it. Who knew?
Who knew? Unbelievable.
Anyways, boy, am I getting hung up on.
Unbelievable.
Point three from Brent Kuhlman. 10 minutes in and you guys have me laughing at least three times. Thanks, guys. That's the whole idea. Brian Warrishin in Vancouver from the BC Lions Den podcast says, watch any NFL game and it won't take you long to see someone breaking the rules with mask wearing. I know, you're just proving my point. John in Kansas City is watching. He says, Fangio really threw his quarterbacks under the bus. Has he lost their confidence going forward? Go back and watch the clip. He did throw the quarterbacks under the bus, but they're at fault. But then he kind of backed up and goes, well, maybe I didn't teach them the protocols properly. So they're all, at least they're all taking responsibility. I'm not pointing the finger at the NFL, yeah, like some of their fans.
And you know, if he's done that in the media, he's done that to them privately too.
Oh, yeah.
Before that. So they're fine.
This is hilarious. Rick Haglund says, thanks for the encouragement, Rod. What encouragement? I'm saying what an idiot I've been my whole life. What am I? I don't get it.
I thought I was a bad driver. I'm not so bad. Feeling pretty good now.
I'm saying, do what I say and you won't end up three times in traffic school. Point three, CFL notes. I'll be brief on this, but really good article out of the Edmonton Sun by our friend Jerry Mottajohn, the Flying Dutchman, who just took the CFL to task. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was about the draft lottery that they had. And he actually made a good point, but I spend very little time thinking about the CFL nuts and bolts like I used to. But his column, by the way, you should go back and read it, was that he's saying this is a joke. Let's look at the top three teams. Hamilton got the number one pick. They were 13-5. Saskatchewan got the number two pick. They were 15-3, Hamilton. Saskatchewan got the number two pick. They were 13-5. And the number three pick went to Winnipeg. They're the Grey Cup champions. This isn't right. Right? And then I'm going, he's right. But why does he care? He's a newspaper writer in Edmonton. Right. Oh! The former Eskimos put him up to it, or put a bug in his ear, because that's how it works, right? I'm like, who would really care but those teams that didn't see their name, their ball fly hot? It would be the team fall high enough.
We've gotten those emails.
Exactly.
Look at this. This doesn't seem right, does it?
I know.
Nudge, nudge. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we've gotten those emails.
So just saying, I kind of saw through that one. And really, I don't care, but do you think the CFL should have weighted those balls a little more, or say, given BC five balls and Hamilton one? But you know what I mean?
Right, but they already did a draft, did they not, based on the season? The last time they were on the field?
Yeah, but still.
You know, so this is already a year removed from that. But yeah, waiting them might not be such a bad thing. That's for sure. I mean, it does look bad when you have Hamilton, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg as your top three picks. That doesn't look that great for the league.
So there's that. And Grey Cup Unite survey, I was signed up for it, obviously, and I was glad that the CFL did a little self-scouting. They said, what did you like about Grey Cup Unite? What would you change? And I simply said, not much. Great content. Heard from the players. Racial injustice. Heard from the coaches. State of the Union. Tailgate party. They had everything. But I would have put it on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, where everybody is, rather than a platform that nobody's heard of before. I would have done it in prime time, because most people were at work. And when I did go back to watch it after, I couldn't find it. So that's all. That was my thing on that from Grey Cup Unite. Todd Pinckney, our friend Pinks, writes in. He's watching. Eagles fan. He says, watch Dan Orlovsky's comments on the Bronco quarterbacks. Sums it all up about masks. Rip them a new you-know-what. I was watching live on ESPN this morning when Orlovsky said that. And what he said was, he brought up Brett Rippon, the nephew of the great Mark Rippon, cousin of the great Rick Rippon. He's a backup quarterback in Denver. And what Orlovsky said was, so many guys sit back and complain that they never got their chance. Shoot, you hear it all the time. He goes, you guys got your chance and you blew it because you didn't wear masks. So don't sit back and talk to your wife or to your buddies in the bar about how you never got your chance, because here was your chance and you blew it because you didn't wear a mask. That was from Orlovsky. It was awesome.
One of those guys, if one of them wears a mask, he starts on Sunday.
Yeah.
The guy is the third string quarterback, wears his mask, he starts on Sunday.
Yeah.
He missed a chance. So you're right.
Brian says in Vancouver, he says, it's been a minute. When did the start time of the show change? It never changed. We are 10 o'clock Saskatchewan time. It changes with the time change. I don't have time to get into that. We're almost out of time. My God. Point four, pro lacrosse talk poll on the NLL expansion. They put up three potential cities for expansion. Did you see that on the weekend?
I missed that one.
Okay. Do you think you can name one of the three?
Yeah, I do, Vegas.
Yeah. What do you think the other two? You'll never get it. You'll never get it.
Midwest?
No.
Seattle?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm out. South.
Okay.
U.S. South. Nashville.
Yeah. Wow.
I know. And Montreal. So just so you know, they're not talking about Regina. They're not really even talking about Winnipeg. They're swinging for the fences.
Destinations.
Yep. Yeah. Smart.
Smart.
And point five, should we hold these off later? The fight.
Oh.
You said you could fill the whole segment talking about Tyson Roy Jones.
I know.
Listen, our next guests have connected. So let's
push it.
Push this to later.
Yeah.
Okay. The fight. And I had more NFL stuff. Cam, Tom, who's going to be the next coach fired? Why Tory Gurley's the best analyst in Canada, hands down. So much more, but we'll take a break. This has been the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, Saskatchewan's original sports bar, and your home for the NFL. We'll be back in a moment with Robin Brownlee and Bryn Griffiths here watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Monday morning get together. Thanks for joining us for coffee today here on Canada's daytime sports talk show. Dupe sticking with me, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to Edmonton now, the city of champions. A couple of icons join us from the Outsiders podcast. And guys, I kind of read your bio earlier. I said Robin Brownlee covered the Oilers, Eskimos for years for the Edmonton Sun, plus the fight game. And of course, we all know Mighty Mouth, Bryn Griffiths. How you doing, guys?
Robin, you first.
Oh, I'm terrific. Hey, this is fun. Like I said this morning on Twitter, Rod, it's the big time today.
I appreciate it. Well, yeah, we got something coming up later. Robin, I got to ask you, because we talked about the fight game, and you covered the sweet science for so long. It's what everybody's been talking about for 36 hours, the fight Saturday night, Tyson Roy Jones Jr. Were you disappointed with the outcome, or what were your thoughts?
Well, I don't like to be the killjoy because, hey, everybody's stuck inside and people are going to spend their money on anything they deem entertaining. You know, I covered boxing for a while. Like you said, I covered Tyson Bruno at the MGM Grand. And, you know, I remember Tyson as a real force. I mean, he was truly the baddest man on the planet. And whether it's boxing where guys never seem to know when to leave it alone, or football, I don't really want to watch a bunch of guys 50 plus do what they used to do when they were at the very top of their game. So, hey, free country, spend the money if you want, but it was what I thought it was going to be, and that was shadows of their former selves.
Were you, Bryn, just to piggyback on that, left wanting a little bit? Like my boxing insider, Pat Fiacco, has said, it was just body shots, nothing to the head. It really wasn't much. What did you think?
Well, my theory is if I'm going to watch guys over 50 doing anything, it's usually bitching and whining about the government. But I did not throw my money at that fight at all. I have enough things going on right now. And one of them is making sure that everybody is ready to go into the month of December. I've seen enough of these debacles, and you know, we all kind of knew it was going to be a draw, did we not? At least I suspected that it was going to end up a draw. So when I heard from downstairs that it ended up being a draw, because you know, the guys downstairs, the kids were watching, I wasn't really surprised. So I, like I said, Robin and I've been around, we've seen enough. I can tell you one thing though, and Robin will start to laugh when I bring this up. The craziest press conference I've ever been to was in Edmonton when Mike Tyson was going to, I don't even remember, was it Smoking Bert Cooper, or I'm thinking about Willie DeWitt's fight now in Regina. But anyway, all I know is that I've never been checked like I was checked going into that press conference. To see Don King's hair live was amazing. To watch Don King botch everything up intentionally so he'd get ink and airtime was amazing to me. But, you know, sometimes the sideshow is more fun than the fight.
Hey, I get it. And the thing was, yeah, it was disappointing. We left Ballers Rec Room the other night disappointed for what we just watched. The entertainment in Ballers was more entertaining than what was on TV. But it was packed to limited capacity, and it was a night out, and we were happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on, guys, I guess just to speak of some Edmonton sports things with you, your thoughts on the World Juniors, because hockey fans in this land are getting a little worried that there will be a World Juniors with the Alberta COVID situation. I don't know who wants to take it first, but do you think they're playing or not?
Well, you know, I mean, the bigger picture's so bad, and that's why it's noteworthy. I mean, I want to see the World Juniors just as bad as anybody does. Been lucky enough to cover some of those as well. And it's great hockey. If the tournament's played, it's obviously going to be different this time. But, man, the numbers here in Alberta, and as far as COVID goes, you know, when it gets, if it gets into the player base, and it's just a mess. I mean, I don't know if they're going to play or not, but if they can avoid the way this is spreading through everyone and everything like wildfire, I'll be surprised.
What do you think, Bryn?
Yeah, I'm very worried about the event. I know a lot of people, obviously, on the organizing committee, and they've done everything that they can to be ready to go. But the problem is, and we can talk about what's going on in Alberta, this is problems coming from outside of Alberta into Alberta, just making it even worse. And having watched what Hockey Canada's had to do with the guys, I just don't know what the other teams are doing. We're not hearing very much about the problems, if they're having any problems. But I'm starting to get concerned that the event's even going to go. But I'm sure we'll hear more over the next little while. And, Rod, we've talked about this before. Having watched this event for such a long time, and I was at last year's in the Czech Republic, and it's the crowd experience that really helps these young guys play better hockey. I've been wondering, and I've been concerned about how will they respond to playing in a building that doesn't have anybody in there. They feed, and we've all seen junior hockey. It's an emotional thing, and I love it. And the thing that I'm worried about is whether or not no crowd is going to flatten the emotion or are these kids going to be able to find it? I don't know. There's a lot of big questions here.
There are, and I'm not expecting you guys to give me the answer yes or no. You've scared me a little bit, because I get it. It's not just about one country here. It's allowing all these other nations into Canada, which I think last I heard is taboo. But on to something else. I don't know where you stand on this, Robin. I mean, quiet isn't good in our business because we're on the air every day. You know, you've been writing for years. We need content. But we haven't heard from the NHL for ages. The Hockey Canada people are holed up at a hotel in Red Deer for 2 weeks. I don't know how they're doing it, but they are. What do you think the silence means in hockey as it relates to 2021? Let's just say the NHL.
Well, I think the silence means that Gary Bettman is scrambling behind the scenes like crazy. I mean, we've gone, you know, way back, they were hoping for a December start date. That became January 1st. I don't see any chance of them getting this done before a February start. And I was thinking early February at best. It may be later than that. The players take a hit. The owners take a hit if they play. They actually, you know, they lose more money if they play than if they don't. There's a lot of little odds and ends that have to come together for this thing to fly. And when, you know, if there's good news to talk about, you can bet we would have had more than one news release by now. And like you say, instead it's been silence.
Where are you, Bryn, on the silence of Gary Bettman? Like, I don't remember the last time I've even heard from him, let alone seen him. What do you think that means?
Well, the concerning thing for me is they signed off on a collective bargaining agreement this past summer, and we all took a deep sigh of relief. But the problem is the game keeps changing. The goalposts keep moving. The Zamboni, well, we could find a million ways to try to break it down a little bit. And I'm becoming concerned about them even getting a season done. And the reason being is because now they're asking the players to take even less. And, you know, we had Ray Ferraro on our podcast a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about the All-Canadian division for one season only. I would not be in favor of it for any more than one season. I like seeing all the other NHL teams. But the problem is, if you're only playing a 48-game season, as Robin points out, we're running out of time. NBC has a thing called the Summer Olympics, and that's you know, we don't even know if that's going to go. But if it does, they want the NHL season over by July. So the NHL is going to run out of racetrack. So they better get going here pretty quick. For a league that's been very upfront and has always said, where they're at, which is what you and I and many others have complained about the Canadian Football League basically going underground or trying to fly under the radar. I'm really surprised the NHL is doing it right now, unless they've got a big Christmas gift for hockey fans. But I'm starting to get so negative about this. I'm not even sure we're going to see a season right now, and that worries me. I know.
Nobody has the answer, right? So, guys, here's what we love about this live portion of what we do. The viewers are part of the discussion, and
yes,
they want to talk boxing. Robin, Caesar.
All right.
I know. Caesar says, a draw, LOL, the worst judging in any boxing match I've ever seen, exhibition or otherwise. Tyson won every round. John in Winnipeg says, boxing is less legitimate than pro wrestling. Robin Wildy in Prince Albert says, that's a nice tree, Bryn. So,
thank you.
Robin, in all those years covering the fight game, how much was the legitimacy of what you were watching part of what you were doing?
Well, but when people talk about bad decisions, I've seen a few. I'd be hard-pressed to recall them exactly now unless I went through some notepads. But you know what? To be honest with you, and I think some purists won't appreciate this, it's a greasy game. Anytime you have judging, you have room for, you know, controversy. This was going to be a draw no matter what. There wasn't going to be a decision. So it was going to be complete unsatisfying from the get-go. I mean, if this was a straight-up fight at this point in their careers, Mike Tyson would destroy Roy Jones Jr. It would be over. I mean, we're talking a legit heavyweight and a hellacious puncher against a guy who was unbelievably good in his prime, but he was a light heavy. And we know how that goes most times. But if there's a dollar to be made in the boxing game, somebody's going to try and make it. And, you know, you should know what you're getting going in. And I think most people do. I mean, the rules were laid out. It was going to be an exhibition. It's a chance to make some money. And look, let's be honest here. Some amount of money, I'm not sure what it'll be, was raised for charity. So that's a positive. I mean, let's give it that much. But nothing I see in the boxing ring surprises me. And this is just another case. And it was far from the biggest spectacle or debacle that's ever been held. I mean, was it George who fought five guys in Toronto one night as a warm-up to something when he had nothing better to do? I think it was Foreman. That was before my time covering the game. But there's been all kinds of goofy things, and this is just one of them.
Well, it was the definition of an exhibition. It was like an exhibition game, but didn't count. It was an exhibition like the fair, like the bearded lady and the barker. You know, like it was an exhibition. That's what it was. But Robin... Yeah, go ahead, Bryn.
You know, here's the thing. Robin, you just hit the nail on the head for me, and this is why I didn't watch. It wasn't either... I need to expect to see a spectacle or a debacle. And I didn't think this was going to be either one. And so that's why I didn't tune in. It just never, they didn't do enough to tell me that it was going to be a crazy, crazy event. You know, even if they'd have come out, look, remember what happened with Cap and Mosca at the Grey Cup. That to me, I watched that because I knew it was going to turn into something. And, you know, I just didn't see this fight turning into anything that would be either the debacle or the spectacle. And the other thing, too, is that I said to myself, is this going to push the fight game further, or is this just going to make it look dumber? And I just didn't I'm also a Denver Broncos fan. I turned away from a lot of stuff this weekend. I didn't want to watch this stuff. However, I ended up watching the Bronco game because it was more of a spectacle. So for me, they just never caught my attention. And, you know, we can talk about which guy is a better puncher, which guy was going to hit which guy over the head with his walker. We can do all that, but it never got to me. And if there's no show involved, I'm not watching. I'm not paying.
Hey, I get it. We walked out of the venue on Saturday night going, that was nothing. What was that? You know, Marty Forbes is watching, the great Marty Forbes, the patriarch of the Forbes clan. He says, Robin, it was Foreman. He grilled him. Ba-dum-boom.
Nice one. Hey.
You know what? Bryn mentions Denver Broncos. That brings us back to this. I'll tell you what. Lyle Alzado versus Muhammad Ali was far better than this, because Lyle was nuts and he actually wanted to try and knock Ali's head off. There was no bad intentions in this fight. It was a pillow fight.
Literally, because the gloves were like the size of pillows. Guys, a shout out for the outsiders before I let you go. Who wants to give it?
I'll do this one. It's, you know, we started this podcast up at this time last year. And everything was going great. And then just as COVID hit, obviously my health became a bit of an issue. And then we restarted, Robin, correct me if I'm wrong on this, we restarted in September. And for us, it's basically a one-hour podcast. We drop the podcast every Monday. Today, Jamie Campbell was on with you guys not long ago. But we always try to have one headliner guest that joins us. And we also, the goal for us is just to have some fun. And it keeps growing and growing and growing. And videos, obviously, are now coming and on the way. So we just have enjoyed doing it. And Robin and I see sports in a little different way. And that's what's been making it so much fun for us and also for the listeners. It's been a good time. I've really enjoyed it. I do corporate podcasting work here, but this is one that is kind of got a real feat. feel about it. It's just a different kind of podcast for me. All the rest of the stuff is good work, but working with Robin on a Monday morning is a blast. It's a chance for us to kind of vent a little bit.
Well, I appreciate it,
guys. So that's what we do.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on two or three times, too. You're both absolute gems. This has been fun. Let's do it again soon, because I'm not sure we're going to have a lot of sports to talk about in the new year. So people love the stories. Thanks, guys.
I'm out of here.
You got it. Bryn Griffiths, I'm out of here. See you, guys. Bryn Griffiths and Robin Brownlee from the Outsiders podcast. Devin Oldford writes in and he says it was April 26th, 1975, was the night Foreman fought Five. That should have been sponsored by Five Guys. And I was two. No wonder I don't remember.
No kidding.
I don't remember. I don't remember that.
I can't imagine.
That explains it. What? No, keep bringing them on.
It's like the Royal Rumble.
I saw that one night in Central Avenue in PA. But it wasn't on TV.
Right? Yeah, Royal Rumble or King of the... I don't know.
King of the Ring.
Every 5 minutes, the music goes and another guy comes down the ramp.
Exactly. We got to take a break. We'll come back with a sports update. We'll finish the quick six. By the way, Clint Bubba O'Neill coming up from CHCH Hamilton in hour two. You're watching the RP Show on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rob.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We'll get to your questions in a minute. Everybody loves that. But a sports update. Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdown passes to four different receivers in a 41-25 Green Bay Packers victory over the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field. Rodgers also surpassed the 50,000-yard passing mark. Since winning five of their first six games, the Bears have dropped five in a row. The poll question, by the way, for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, now that I'm talking about A-Rod, the second A-Rod, who had the best Week 12 performance in the NFL? Aaron Rodgers, who I just said threw for four touchdowns. Tyreek Hill of the Chiefs, who had, I think it was 203?
Yeah, in the first quarter.
Derrick Henry of his Titans, what'd he have? He was over 200. Yeah. No, he wasn't 200,
no,
was he?
No, close.
Yeah.
Close.
Or other. Leading is Tyreek Hill. Help is on the way. Did you see that?
Unbelievable.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have fired general manager Dave Caldwell after the team lost their 10th consecutive game earlier Sunday. The Jags lost 27-25 to the Cleveland Browns to fall to 1-10, a single season team record. How about the Browns? 8-3. First thing I think about when I see that is Freddie Kitchens had no idea what he was doing.
I know.
It's the same team.
Pretty much. I mean, they're getting things together. They're not dominating, but they're waking a lot of people up.
Pedros Santos and Giazzi Zardes both scored in extra time as the Columbus Crew beat expansion Nashville 2-0 to advance to the MLS Eastern Conference Finals. Columbus will host New England next Sunday. The Revolution beat Orlando City 3-1 earlier Sunday. By the way, did you see any highlights from the stadium in Orlando? It was like full.
I know.
What are they doing?
I had to look. I'm like, this is a replay, right? From like a year ago.
I know.
That's what I thought.
I'm watching the highlights, and then I'm waiting today for the news update. Thousands die in Orlando. I'm not getting the update. Montrealer Nathan Kayo and Blake Francis powered Richmond to a 76-64 upset victory over the 10th-ranked Kentucky Wildcats. Kayo and Francis each scored 18 points in the victory. That's NCAA basketball, by the way. And legendary sports broadcaster Vin Scully celebrated his 93rd birthday on Sunday. Scully celebrated his day by watching his favorite quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs, as well as the Rams and Chargers games. He retired from the Dodgers booth following the 2016 season. He spent 67 seasons as voice of the franchise. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. And it really was like a rec room on Saturday night. Like, the fight sucked, but everything else was awesome.
Yeah.
The food was amazing. Ballers was just great. Thanks for hosting us down there, guys. It was packed to limited capacity.
Yeah, really. There was like, what, four or five tables. Then that's it. So they did a good job, but it was still...
maybe a few more than
it was,
that.
Yeah, it was still fun.
On the sports thing, by the way, I'm very grateful for a coffee session I had Friday afternoon with a sports person. And I think a lot of people could take something away from this. The guy basically said to me, we can whine and complain all we want about crowds at sporting events in this country, but it's not going to matter. So churches, you see the RCMP blockade in Manitoba. A lot of my friends in the religious community have been revolting against government COVID controls. Well, all they're going to do is keep slapping you with fines, probably arrest you. You just can't fight it. And this health guy said, you just got to go along with it, whether you like it or not. I don't think we agree with it. And that's fine. Did you agree with their parents when they were disciplining you?
Right.
You didn't.
Of course not.
You just had to go to your room. So I've kind of changed my thought on things. And the viewer from Edmonton wrote in earlier and said, Roddy, you sticking by your let's sign a waiver and let us go to games? I am. I'm not taking it down. It's still pinned to the top of my account, but it doesn't matter. I think the main thing is that I'm telling people to follow the rules and guidelines, because if we do, things will hopefully get back to normal more quickly. But I'm not encouraging anybody to be a rule breaker, an anti-masker, or anything like that. But I think we can also see where the malls and the Costcos and the Walmarts, where they're just anthills of people, you can see where the hockey teams are going. What?
Yeah.
We can't play hockey, but they can go do this. But that's what it is.
Yeah. No, really. I mean, it's tough, but we have to follow the rules. We think that I fully believe, and I'm romantic that there's a world where we can play sports and follow the rules and be safe and flatten the curve all at the same time if we do things the right way. But the problem is when you open it up to everybody, then everybody wants to do it and set their own rules. You know, if you follow the rules, we wouldn't shut anything down. Everything would be open. Yeah. Right. That's the takeaway. So I hope we get there. I hope we get there fast. I hope we get to a point where it's a real focus to open the stadiums up. But follow the rules. Wear your mask when you're walking around. But open them up. I really want that.
Back to sports. Pinks writes in, says, did you guys see the F1 crash that Romain Grosjean was involved in and walked away from? Did you see that? Cut the car in half. Yeah, I watched it. It's all I do is watch TV right now and a little shopping. But it says a lot about the flame retardant suits that the race car drivers are wearing, because they said the only burns he had were on his wrists and his ankles. His car was in flames.
Where the seams are, yeah.
20 seconds he sat in fire. 20 seconds he sat in fire. Count. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you're in flames. Think about that. And not only did I see it, but I saw the clip of him from his hospital bed later. Did you see that?
I didn't.
So I said his wrists were burned. His hands are swollen in his fingers to the size of like gigantic sausages. And they were in bandages and they were hanging like in traction. His wrists, I'm like, he's not going to be texting for a while.
No. Texting, driving.
Touching himself.
That too. It's going to be a lonely holiday season.
For him. But at least he's alive.
Yeah. Another sponge bath, please.
Exactly. Well, can you change the channel for me? Poor guy. Where's the text phone?
I plugged it in. And need to get
and
it.
And left it in your office.
In the commercial.
I just saw them put up the number, 306-840-8777. So the viewer takeover segment after this break is going to be like a box of chocolates. We don't know what we're going to get, because he's going to run out and get it in the break. And we'll finish off our quick six show topics, okay?
Oh, yeah.
We only got through four.
Let's do it.
This is hour one. We're coming to you from the sweatpants capital. In hour two, Clint Bubba O'Neill from CHCHTV in Hamilton. Always enjoy our chats with Bubba. You're watching the RP Show on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. The entire crew is at it again today on episode 370 of Canada's daytime sports talk show. And the coffee is amazing today. Ooh. Good job, Caliber Coffee. I'm loving it. I'm sucking it back like I'm going to the electric chair tomorrow.
Me too.
I told you viewer takeover was going to be eclectic. Darren got the phone here for Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer. Bob in Grand Prairie says the best game of the weekend was Vikings-Panthers. I'll have to take your word for that, Bob. I didn't watch a second of it, but I can tell you a lot of the games came down to the last play. The ones that I was watching, the Bucs-Chiefs, came down to the last drive. The Patriots win came back to a game-winning field goal. So did the Rams and the Niners. Oh, so maybe yeah. You're right, but I liked what I watched.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Awesome Sunday. Full of games. They were good.
Awesome weekend.
Really was. Fantastic.
Brady writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, and he says, hey, Rod, the best performance from week 12 in the NFL has to be Tyreek Hill. He became the third player in the past 30 years to have at least 200 receiving yards in a single quarter. The Mike Tyson versus Ray Jones Jr. fight wasn't terrible. It was what I expected. Everyone is making the Jake Paul fight seem surprising. He fought a dude who trained nonstop but was never taught defense. And he goes on to say, looking forward to tonight's NFL game, go Hawks. Because the Sea Chickens are taking on the Eagles tonight. It's a bird fight. And there's Ricky. Hey, Ricky. From the 537, texting in from Tim Furry. He says, I'm sitting in isolation because I came into direct contact with a positive contact. I would still sign the waiver to watch sports. So there's a guy who's saying he's following the rules, just doesn't agree with the rules. We're allowed to disagree with the rules, aren't we? We just got to follow the rules.
Yeah.
I don't like wearing a seatbelt, but I'm going to do it. Then you don't get a ticket.
Right. So, there's a difference between, yeah, not following the rules and disagreeing with them, right? You can disagree and hope and try and, you know, advocate for change, but you're going to be taken a lot more seriously if you're actually following the rules while you advocate for them to be changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The points 5 and 6 of the Quick Six show topics that I never really finished with Darren were the fight Saturday night and then more NFL. You know, Cam Newton wins again. You know, is Tom Brady too old? It's like every time the Bucs lose, he's too old. Every time they win, he's still the greatest. Like, it's getting a little much. But at least they're playing. But on the fight, come on, folks. I was a little surprised that Bryn Griffiths didn't at least watch it. What a spectacle. From Snoop Dogg to the announcers to... It was a gong show.
Snoop, we're going to have to cut this short. We're all getting a contact high here. You know, but they... You know what? It was a spectacle, and this is a lesson in marketing and branding, right? And the boxing purists, and I'm really curious to see what Pat Fiacco thinks about it, and, you know, some of the real boxing purists and the guys who follow it and cover it all the time, and those guys did, they'll say, but this is terrible, and the boxing that we put on every weekend is amazing. They're so much more talented. You should be watching that, not this. Well, we're not watching that. There's a reason we watched Mike Tyson. He gave you a reason to get out of your seat, to go down and watch it, to pay money to watch it, right? You have an attachment to him. I don't have an attachment to the other boxers, no matter how good they are.
I don't even know who they are.
No. So it's not always about a better product will always win. You have to give people a reason to watch. You have to make them feel attached to the athletes or to the teams or to the communities, a reason to watch. You know, Mike Tyson said he was going to eat the guy's children. You know, back in the day, where he bit Evander Holyfield's ear off.
From viewer Rob Williams, and he says, we all know Tyson was broke. Money a big enticement. He just cashed in our sentimentality. Smart. No, he owns a cannabis company that makes $500,000 a month. He's not broke. He just wanted to fight again. We'll talk about all of this next hour. And we've got Clint Bubba O'Neill coming up as well. Stick with us or join us on Game Plus, everybody. You prick!
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.